Morning, guys. You all right? I'm going to be preaching on opposition today. So what I thought, I would give you the opportunity that if anyone wants to barrack me, you can do it now. Is that all right? Right. So, yeah. So if you ever sat there and wanted to shout, you're rubbish, you're no good, get off and all that, I want you to choose one of them, right? I want you to, everyone choose that and shout it loud at me now, right? Ready? One, it, just think of those. Listen, you were supposed to be an obedient lot, right? There is a reason I'm going to do it, right? I'll tell you why then, because Satan hates it when we laugh at him. Now, when we step out to do something, right, we know these are the things he's going to be saying to us. So we're going to shout that stuff at me because I can take it, all right? And then we're going to laugh at him because we don't care what he says, okay? Makes sense? So if you've ever felt like that, which you probably never have, but anyway, but you want to get it out, you're rubbish, you're no good, please let me hear a get off or your armpit smell if you want to shout that as well. I don't care, right? So after three, one, two, three, big loud shout. Right, Satan hates that. Now let's give a big laugh at Satan because we don't care. Yeah. We don't care. That's the worst he does to us. And yeah, he's not going to get his own way in here. So has that got it off your chest? I did get threatened with a fire extinguisher this morning already to put me off, or a chocolate biscuit. And actually, I think the chocolate biscuit would put me off more than a fire extinguisher. But there you go. So, you never know what's going to happen when I come here. You lot. I don't know what it takes. It takes a pair of glasses, I know that. Right, let's get into this. So, young lady's going to give us our reading this morning. Have we got a mic for you?
Oh, I probably don't need one.
You don't?
Yeah.
Trying to read and hold this is not going to work.
It's good to know that I'm not the only one that gets barracked here. You know that. I don't feel on my own now.
So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there for 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal wall and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem which had been broken down and its gates which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the well. Finally I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace." Also I told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when the Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and the Geshen the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give you success. We his servants will build, rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it."
Amen. Well done. Thank you. Let's give a round of applause for that. Come on. So, what we're going to, I'm going to call today's talk Braveheart, and you'll see why. So, what we're going to look at is that Nehemiah, he starts this work, then opposition comes and he overcomes it with his God, our God. And so, the first question is, Are you facing opposition right now? Are you facing something that's bringing fear and you feel like you've got a fearful heart? I mean, I've been in business for 30 years, and over the last few weeks, we've had something that's happening that really has made me feel like a fearful heart. We have really got to hold on to God and really starting to see breakthrough there. But what Nehemiah was facing here was real opposition as he started to rebuild the wall. It wasn't going to be easy for him. It wasn't. There was going to be opposition almost immediately. But Nehemiah, what he had done, he had prayed about it. He'd been to God and he'd spent a lot of time in God's presence so that God would be with him. And he had breakthrough with that. And he had permission from God, and power and presence was with him. And so he goes to start this work. And that's how we should start any work that God has placed in our heart. We come before him. But Nehemiah, you see, he had a brave heart. He had a courageous heart. And we saw that, you know, as we look at how he came before the king and brought this before the king. I want to build a wall for my people, go back to Jerusalem. You know, he could have lost his job for that. He could have even been worse, maybe even lost his life. And what Nehemiah did, he set aside all that Nehemiah was doing in his life at the time to do what God had placed in his heart. And it was full of dangers, full of dangers. And I want us to catch the heart of Nehemiah today, the courage that he had. Why is that? Because as a church, we want to be known as a people that are full of courage, full of bravery, always taking risks for God, always stepping out, knowing if God's not with me, it's not going to happen. And so does that describe your life at the minute? Are you on an adventure? Are you pressing the boundaries, looking for breakthrough, knowing you need that courage in your heart? Because courage is this. Someone said that courage is not an absence of fear. Rather, it's realizing that there is something more important I'm about than my fear. And so we spend time in God's presence, soak him in, and then we listen to his voice. We listen to what he places on our hearts, and we step out. Don't reason it out. We just go, okay, God, whatever it's going to cost, I'm going to do it for you, because we know that when we do what God has asked us to do, that his presence will come with us, that provision will come with us, the resources will come and be with us, and we will have power to overcome whatever opposition comes our way. And we will all end up with great stories. All the stories of the Bible happen with normal people like you and me stepping out to do something. And God wants that for each one of us. And I remember we ran a kids group once, and we had just a few kids just started up, and we had about four or five kids off the estate. And as I'm on the estate, the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to get a minibus. And I thought, minibus, we've only got a few. And then, you know, with the Holy Spirit wakes you up and you say, okay, I'm going to go and get one. So anyway, I went there to an auction, never been to an auction before. And before that, I'm thinking, yeah, minibuses are going to be great. And then all of a sudden, when I'm looking at the thing, all of a sudden it started to happen. You know, that little voice, what do you think you're doing? You know, what do you think you're doing? You're going to spend all the church's money on getting a minibus. You're not going to get kids to fill that. This is a waste of time. And inside, I'm going from this bold kind of get a bus to kind of like... So inside, have you ever been like that? And I was really like that, and I almost came home. That was the truth. And anyway, we got the bus, and then we took it home. We signposted it, you know, King's Church, whatever. It looked like an ice cream thing. And I thought, the kids are going to love this when I take it down to the estate. And they did, you know, both of them, as I was waiting there. And it was like, I thought, wow, you know. What have I done? So we went and picked another couple of kids up from the other side of town, and I thought on the way back, it's like, well, I might as well call in just to see if there's one or two more. As I pulled round into the little cul-de-sac, we picked them up, the street was filled with kids. They piled in, and I had to take them out and come back for more. And so, but you see, I'm drawing that story out again, is that opposition quickly comes when you step out to do something for God. And it's like, once we're prepared, we know that's going to happen. It's all right, you know, because God's there with you. And so as we see Nehemiah stepping out, the opposition came. Verse 10 that we read there, Sanballat and Tobiah were greatly displeased at what was going on. Why? Because someone came to seek the welfare of God's people. And that's exactly what we're doing in North London, in the various locations that we'll be replanting and working the family of God like we are here. We're going to get opposition. And so with what's going on with the story, you know, like Nehemiah is the good guy. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Hebrew word for Nehemiah means Yahweh comforts, or the comforting spirit of God. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. But in the same way, Sanballat is the bad guy, and Tobiah, the bad guys. You know, they're a picture of what Satan will do and attack us and fiercely oppose us as we start to step out into whatever God has called us to do. So we have a real enemy. You know, God's on our side, get that done. But we know that there's a real enemy out there. Ephesians 6:12 says this, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's the rulers and the powers in the spiritual realms. It's them that we fight. So there is the physical reality of what we see, but we know that there is a heavenly reality, a spiritual reality, which is why we're going to do the 48 hours of prayer. We're going to do work up there and then see the physical change down here because of it. And so opposition will come as soon as we want to step out, like Manuela said, and stand up for what we believe. Tell people we're Christian, they need to be saved. We'll get opposition. If you want to pray for people, see healing, we will get opposition. Words of knowledge, or start a godly business, something like that. Sanballat, the Satan, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, will want to put fear into our hearts. And so we're going to look at five things through this passage as to how we get a brave heart, a courageous heart. You up for that, church?
Yeah.
Come on. Okay, so first thing that I see that we need is if we want a brave heart, we need to know our position. You see, Sanballat was the ruler over, he had great power over the area. But Nehemiah, being wise, had been to the king, who had more power, and he had got letters from the king. And so when he came into that area, Sanballat was used to getting his own way, no longer could get his own way. Why? Because he had letters and permission. Nehemiah had letters and permission from the king. He had superior power, outstripping Sanballat's power. Just as we have superior power over whatever Satan will want to say to us today. Superior power. Can I hear a glory to that?
Glory.
Come on. So in Colossians 2:15, Paul says this, that Jesus has disarmed the rulers and the authorities by the work of his cross. And we know that he who is in us is more powerful than he who is in the world. And so we know that we stand in that position of power over whatever the enemy will... You know, if things start going wrong at home, you can invoke that name of Jesus and get rid of Satan's work. If it happens at work, if it happens in your mind, it's like in Jesus' name, you go. He will attack. You know, worst thing in the world is to think that Satan's not real, that's all rubbish and that. He'll have a field day. But we don't get over stuck on it either. But we have power. Our position is we are above Satan. In Christ we are. He has through us, in Jesus' name. Secondly, we need a plan. He seems to me that Nehemiah was a bit of a master planner. He knew what was going to happen. He knew all he needed for his task. And a bit of wisdom there. Nehemiah didn't go out and tell everybody what he was going to do. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, don't go and tell everybody. Why? Because jealousy rises up. And someone else will start wanting to do what you want to do and all that stuff happens. Don't tell anyone. Nehemiah went out at night in the dark to survey what was going on. He wanted to know everything that he needed in order to undertake what God had placed in his heart. And so have you got a plan for your life? Ministry, have you got a plan for it? Have you thought it through, prayed about it, spent that time in the presence of God? It's so key that we do that. Proverbs 13:16 says this, that wise people think before they act. Foolish people just don't. And they even brag about the foolish things they get up to. And so studies have shown that 5%, just 5% of people write down their plan for life. How they're going to do it, how they're going to get there. 5%. And it's the same 5% who end up the highest wage earners and the most successful people in life. So it's great to write it down. Think it through, write it down what the Holy Spirit says to you. So because the most successful people set their direction and they go for it. No distractions. This is what I'm about. Jesus did that when he went to Jerusalem. I'm going there, mate. I don't care about anything else. Whereas unsuccessful people kind of drift about and let life just happen to them. And woe is me because of this, that and the other. They're just aimless. And we don't want to be that. So we need a plan for life. Whether it's for your family, whether it's for work, ministry, or the church, we need to know questions. What do we need to complete this? Who is going to get involved? How long is this thing going to take? How much is it going to cost? And timing as well. Timing is a massive issue with these things. You know, Nehemiah didn't just ping out and do it. He waited. And I mean, for a long time, it must have seemed, I think he was day and night for about 3 or 4 months, waiting on God for this. And he must have been thinking, is God doing anything? What's going on? And I believe that there's some of you in that place right now where you're thinking to yourself, is God really there? Is he really doing anything? It's just God is silent. Well, take the story, you see, because undercover, Nehemiah was going to survey the whole wall. He was going to have a look at everything that was needed. Every part needed to be looked at. In the same way, Nehemiah, the Holy Spirit goes to do a deep work in us. And just when you think God is silent and nothing is going on, that's the very moment, that very season that God is doing a deep work in us to find out what are the struggles. Where's the brokenness? What works of the Satan, the devil do I need to undo? Because that's what Jesus came to do. So if you're going through that, hold on. Keep going. Keep praying. Because you will get breakthrough, as Nehemiah did in verse 12. It says, look, God put something into my heart. And so he received a vision from God in his time with God. It wasn't wasted time. God placed something in him. He had a vision. He had a dream from God. And Nehemiah saw the wall built. He saw the rubble gone. He saw the shame lifted from his people, from God's people. He saw that his people were saved to worship and praise his God again. He saw the glory of God shining again. That once his people weren't glorifying God, they weren't making God look good at all. Smash temple, smash city, smash walls. Now he saw it rebuilt and God's people being what they should be again, glorifying God, glorifying him. That was the ultimate that Nehemiah wanted. And with anything that we undertake in our life, it's not for ourselves ultimately. If it's to glorify him, even it's with a business, if you want a successful business, do it to glorify him. and you'll see success come. But that's what he saw. Nehemiah saw the finished deal and it gave him strength to go for it. And so we have a vision here. We have something in our hearts here that we want to build a church that is filled like it is today with the presence and power of God. A church that accepts everybody, however they walk through the door, however damaged, whatever decisions or choices that they've made that are wrong in their lives, and we see them come broken, rubble everywhere. Our vision is to accept them and love them and build them up. And then eventually we find out what makes them tick. Where's their passion? What has God placed in your heart? And send them out into the world with the rest of us, with the presence of God in us, to build them up and make a difference in their life. We want everybody's life in this church and the churches that will come out of it to make life count. Are you up for that, church? Come on. And so fourthly, Nehemiah was courageous because he knew how important his work was. He knew it. And you see, so Nehemiah realized, and for us, it's that realization, all that we go about with to do in our lives, all the busyness, that actually building his church, a kingdom church that gets built up here and carries the kingdom out. There is nothing more important this side of heaven. Nothing more important than that. And he knew that. He said in chapter 6:3, I'm about a great work. He said, I'm not going to stop. Sanballat was barracking him and doing all that kind of stuff. He said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do what my God said, and I'm going to fulfill what he's placed in my heart. And you see, as church, every person in here is important. Every work that God has placed in you to do and your part to play, as Manuela was congratulating and honouring people this morning, every single person in here, you play a part. You all need to be honoured for what you do, and everyone involved is as important as everyone else. Everyone else. Remember this, success is not about becoming rich and powerful. Yeah. I want to say something about Trump, but I won't. Anyway, so it's not about becoming rich and powerful. It's about doing what God has made you to do. He's created you to do. Amen. So we remember that the story is not about a brick wall. It's not about bricks and mortar, rubble. It's not that. It's about the rubble in our hearts that we carry through living in a world that is fallen, full of Sanballat's work coming against us. It's about the rubble in the church. It's about the rubble in the world that we live in and how we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and rebuild everywhere. Rebuilding here, there, in my heart, in my life, in my family, in my work. Everywhere that we go, we carry that. And so we see at the beginning of chapter 4 a bit more of this Sanballat's work. He says this, what are these feeble Jews doing? And what he was saying, you weaklings, what do you think you're doing in here in Barnet? You think you're going to make a difference to North London? Well, the answer is yes, 100%. Someone else said, even if a fox walks on it, it's going to fall over. You see, when we pursue something, a dream that God has placed in our heart, we'll start to hear them words from the enemy. Why? Because there are areas of our mind that are damaged, areas of our emotions that are open and defenseless. We need to rebuild them up with the word of God, the power of God. Our souls are full of rubble where Satan will come on and he'll remind you of little truths, you know. You're still in certain sins. You did this in your past. You still hold unforgiveness. You're still bitter after all that I've done for you. The bad attitudes that are there. painful memories, failures. He will mock and he will cause you to fail and cause you into disillusion and disappointment if we don't repent and allow him to cleanse us and remove that rubble from our hearts. It's a real gift that we can do that. Come before God and say, take that stuff. That rebuilding work needs to go on. And then fifthly, that Nehemiah was courageous because he knew who was with him. Sanballat's doing all his stuff again. And he said this, look, the God of heaven will make us prosper. And you have no authority over Jerusalem, just like we were just saying. So he was saying he knew in his heart it would happen, not because of his skill, of what he had, but he knew it would happen because God was working. It was God's idea. I'm stepping out with you, God. If you don't turn up, it's not going to happen. But you put it in my heart, so I know it's going to happen. He knew his God. And what we need to do, because we know Sanballat will be waiting to oppose us, what we need to do is pull out those fiery darts. They hurt. That's what the fire's about. There's always a little bit of truth in it. We pull them out and we hold up the shield of faith. No, my God is with me. Let's hear a glory to that one. Amen. Or an amen. You know, whatever. So let's just finish by saying, what do you need courage for today? What do you need a brave heart for today? What is God asking you to do by his Holy Spirit? Don't fudge over it. You know, a lot of times these things drop in our heart. I can remember the first time God asked me to preach, I was sitting somewhere like over there and I saw the guy preaching up the way and I felt God say, that's what I want you to do. Man, I was like, no way. It took years. I'll tell you another time I had it well, but I was so scared, honestly. And so is it that God wants you to share your faith with somebody? Just let them know you're Christian, or, you know, how Jesus has loved you out of a certain situation. Or maybe step out and pray for healing, or get that word of knowledge and don't just get it, give it, you know, share it with others. Again, like Manuela said earlier, or go for that job, that business that you know is going to glorify God, or get involved with one of the works here, CAP and all that stuff with the poor is fantastic. Or maybe start a small group, or even attend a small group, or even turn up on time here. Some things are impossible. No, not with God. Not with God. We get the same problem. But you may say in your heart, yeah, but Clive, it's all right for you, but I'm not ready. Well, I wasn't ready for coming to preach here, I can tell you. But, you know, but then when we look at it, you know, you might say to yourself, well, I just haven't got that brave heart. It's all right for you. You know, I've got a fearful heart. But let's look into history, our roots, where we come from. Moses was a coward. He's going, I can't do that, God. Can you get someone else that don't even speak properly? Yeah, so he wasn't ready. And then we look at Gideon. He's like, I'm the weakest and I'm the feeblest out of the least tribe, God. And God said, you get out there, mighty man, you go. He wasn't ready. He said, Joseph wasn't ready. You know, he got very boastful about the gifts that God had given him. We're dreaming. He wasn't ready. Peter wasn't ready. You know, he was a bit of a caveman, wasn't he? Really, he was. You know, until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Even Jesus wasn't ready. Father, will you take this from me? Take this cup. He saw what God wanted him to do on the cross. God was ready for that. But he did it because he knew what was coming. And so the truth is this, is that none of us are ready. If you don't feel ready, great. If you feel ready, you're probably not ready. All right? But we're a work in progress, each one of us. And God sees beyond whether you're ready or not, beyond your own understanding, beyond that. Your own expectation of what God could do in your life. He sees the rubble removed from your heart. He feels you. He sees you built up. He sees the finished article, the finished job done, the wall up. And he sees the real you emerge out of the rubble. Repaired, built up, and ready to serve him wherever he calls you to serve. You ready for that, church? Let's stand and we'll pray. Be good if we can have a little bit of music at this point. Thanks, Jerry. And I want to say this, okay? Ask this. Because I believe that God wants to impart to us courage and a brave heart. If you want a brave heart and courage from God, just raise your hands in the air. Raise your hand. If you want that brave heart from Him, He's going to give it. He said, I'll give you new hearts. You know, didn't stop once. He wants to renew it, give you something tremendously powerful for Him. I will say this, if you don't know Jesus yet, you haven't received a heart from Him that is bold and courageous. It only comes from Him. You've never done that before, come and see me at the end and I'll help you to receive it. But I believe that God is here now. His robe is filling the temple, which is a word He gave me earlier. And He wants to touch every heart, to take away the fear, to take away the disappointments of the past and say, this is a new day for you. It's a new day. And it's time to receive from the Lord. Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that You would fill us with Your courage this morning. And you know that there are some in here today that you need courage not to do anything, just to get through today, just to get through the next hour. If that's you, just come up for prayer at the end. God will meet you at your need. But for others, it's time to trust the Lord. Trust the word that He has placed in your heart. Trust the calling on your life. Trust that dream that you always had, that you knew that this is what I'm supposed to be about. Lord, pour it out. Pour it out, God. Jesus, let it flow. You promised, God. You promised a river. A river of life, of boldness, Lord, that we would be Christ wherever we go. Because You are the bravest person that's ever walked this earth, Jesus. And You are in us. So Lord, make us brave heart today. Make us courageous today, not because of us, but because of You. And everyone in the house said, amen. Let's worship our God. Praise You, Lord.
Sing this prayer together.